Okay. So, good morning. How are you going? So today is part of the growth series. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15. There it is. And consider our future in Christ Jesus. And this should help us live more confidently in the present if we know where we are in the future. So, I better pray to start. Don't want any boggled minds as we go. Lord, I pray that you'll open our minds and our hearts, and we'll hear what you have to say to us today. I pray we'll all grow in faith and trust, Lord, as we focus on your word by your Holy Spirit. Praise you for your great privilege of seeking your blessing and calling on your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Technology. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-7. We'll start with that. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. So there's two things that jump out at us there. Bzz, time's up. Why don't we refer to the tailors as Cephas and Kim? We should. Also, the number of people here today. 12 was the number Jesus worked with. We've got 11. I think Judas must have left. But God willing, the 500 will come later that was mentioned in the scripture. The 500 people mentioned were mostly all still alive at the time and could verify the truth. They would have had a living memory of seeing and even experiencing the risen Lord, and as eyewitnesses could confirm their knowledge of Jesus through his following his resurrection. So we accept the sacrifice of Jesus as our own. It's a gift of God to all who believe. And do we struggle accepting the resurrection? There's little doubt that historically Jesus lived and was crucified by the Romans. Three questions of faith that arise are: 1, was Jesus truly the Son of God sent as the Saviour of the world? 2, following his death, was he resurrected? And 3, do you believe this passionately? If the answer to these questions is yes, then that should clarify your worldview for now, for life now, and take you confidently into eternity. If questions of faith arise, then know that if you seek God, you will find him. He wrote the entire story down for us so we can be like-minded and part of the worldwide family of believers, the body of Christ. A walk down memory lane. Let's consider that what you feed grows and what you starve dies. So continuing along with Graham's line of thought in the last message, he mentioned searching for truth. So we must be careful to feed our mind truth and starve it of bunkum, drivel, twaddle, malarkey or hogwash, no matter how well it's presented. So to repeat the quote, what you feed grows, what you starve dies. Also in 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company comes in different forms. What company is your mind keeping? What are you reading, listening to, or watching on movies, TV or YouTube? All is good if it aligns with God's word, but not good if it brings doubt and fear into your mind. Doubt and fear are not products of faith. Misinformation seem to be running rampant on the internet lately and causing much stress and anxiety. Misinformation was a nickname I had for my wife before we got married. Now she's Mrs. Information. She goes to trivia, she knows everything. Misinformation is seen to be running rampant on the internet, causing much stress and anxiety, as I said. The spreading of false information due to ignorance or error. But also, we must deal with disinformation. The spreading of false information designed to mislead and obscure the truth for malicious or deceptive purposes. So we have mis and dis, but they're both dangerous and deceptive. Misinformation can be identified as a continual and historical problem. Paul appears to have written this portion of today's scripture in response to misinformation spreading amongst the Corinthian church about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So it's not foolhardy to believe God in everything, including the future. Without Christ Jesus, who died and is now alive again, Christianity is a dead religion. Sorry to say. 1 Corinthians 15, 16, 18. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. So heavy stuff. But we're on the gold medal winning team here as heirs of the Most High. We should have an attitude of commitment to win this race. As Graham said, don't give up, press on. Instead, we should be excited. Perhaps our aim is to be training on truth, taking truth steroids and protein supplements of truth, running a marathon of truth, pumping the weights of truth, or just reading the pages of truth, your Bible. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So having now convinced ourselves where the truth is really found, what can we learn about the resurrection? 1 Corinthians 15, 44-49. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so also are those who are of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man and woman, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. So, first, our natural bodies are worth looking at. Fully clothed, of course. And there's interesting information gleaned from the internet. And this was written by Ross Pomeroy. I believe him to be a scientist, but I couldn't really track it down because there was a few Ross Pomeroys. I didn't want to give any misinformation. Biohybrid robots combine living in synthetic materials, taking the form of limbs and organs or even entire living organisms. Philosophically, biohybrid robots make plain something that many scientists and thinkers have suspected. Humans and other living creatures are just machines, albeit with organic rather than inorganic parts. With lessons from biohybrid robotics, scientists could one day build a complex living being from scratch. Well, I've got to say that I find that absolutely amazing. Not that they could build such a living being, but that some arrogantly refuse to believe that God could do it. Just amazes me. Genesis 1:27 pretty well wraps it up for me. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. But as we read, Ross Pomeroy reckons humans are just organic machines. Not a simple machine. We're made in God's image. Conscious, thinking, problem-solving machines. A complicated, autonomous machine that has both design and purpose. To build and program a machine, what is needed is intelligence, information, a language of some sort, and a form of communication. And this cannot happen by random chance or dumb luck. It must have intelligent design. To me, designer equals creator. Our bodies are physically self-sufficient, organic machines. Food goes in, energy is produced, work is done, and waste products removed. As mentioned, we're an extremely complicated machine overall, but especially at the molecular level. Naturally occurring biological molecular machines, says Wikipedia, are responsible for vital living processes performing the numerous tasks required to keep living cells alive. We could discuss enzymes, proteins and amino acids, but I'd soon see everyone's eyes glaze over if not already. But please consider, the mind boggles when looking deeper into this. Nothing is random, everything has design and purpose. Psalm 139:13-14, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, would a totally righteous God make promises he will not keep? I think not. God's word is and will be eternally on display. He can be trusted to deliver what he promises. Many do what they want without belief in Adam and Eve, the virgin birth, or even the resurrection, but they still have an expectation of future forgiveness. Now, not considering backsliders, but most people I've met who assert that the Bible teachings are false have never searched for God themselves. They seem to become defiant against God and boldly stand on wavering opinion, so to live in hope or to live in denial. If they are wrong, we tend to pity them as they face the fear of the unknown, inevitable death to all, and a prospect of future judgment. If we are wrong, we'll all just end in lights out. But 1 Corinthians 15:30-32. Oops. Oh, that's right. 1 Corinthians 15:19 is correct. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all people. So we won't pity others when they defiantly turn against God. But we are to be pitied more than all people. If only for this life we have hope in Christ and not in the future. There it is, 15:32. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. This would appear to be a fitting philosophy of life if there is no resurrection. It seems to be a common and accepted attitude in today's society, and one which I lived in my former days. I can testify that God changes lives, though, because he completely changed mine. Different from my past, I'm a new creation in heart, mind and spirit, and the future holds hope for a new body fit for heaven. So I've said many times, who would want to live together in this body? Philippians 3:20-21. But our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so it'll be like his glorious body. So, I've just made a case that God has created our physical bodies, and we know he's dealing with unrighteousness in his way and his timing. I can see no reason to assume he will not take the process up to the next level, the spiritual body. As in 1 Corinthians 42:44, the body that is sown is perishable, it's raised imperishable, it's sown in dishonour, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. So God is spirit. I can't imagine it would be a problem for him to transform us. But will we be ready? What should we do in preparation? And I see us standing firm in the armour of God, resisting the enemy. The good news, a bit more scripture. Ephesians 6, 13, 17, as a reminder. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. Notice he repeats three times. Usually if God repeats, it's for a reason. He wants you to understand to stand. Stand with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. Yes, pray about everything. So I figure that with any crisis, and there will always be crises, we shall stand firm and react to all problems with the knowledge that God is in control, and then quickly consider, where do we go from here? So we wear the full armour of God, but don't let go of the Holy Spirit to fight the enemy in your own strength. Visualise holding the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit in your left hand, and hang on tight with the right. Psalm 73, 23, 24. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. We need to bless others and be blessed. We need to love others and be loved. To humbly seek God and live in his promises, and stand firmly on the rock. Hebrews 13, 8, 9 said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And verse 9 said, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. And finally, remember, an oldie but a goodie. If you were accused of being a Christian and had to face court, how much evidence would there be to support the accusation? And I hope certainly enough to get a conviction. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 14. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong, and do everything in love. Amen to that. Okay, so my part is finished. Graham finished his. And Derek will no doubt tie everything together next week.